I still think it was a mistake getting off the bus, Lil.
Oh, stop the nonsense, Harold. There's only one way to see Australia, and that's on foot. The Aborigines have done it that way for centuries.
That's as may be, but they didn't have to carry round an esky, two folding chairs, three suitcases, and your trombone.
Now, Harold, we couldn't leave the instruments on the bus, Pip. Besides, where's your pioneer spirit, eh? Where's that good old Anzac pluck that gave Johnny Turk Merry Hill at Gallipoli? Where's that grit and determination which has made Australia a byword in international yachting circles? Where's your moxie?
Should be a drop or two left in the thermos, Lil.
Harry Zoot Davenport and Lillian Lips Pascoe are two wandering musicians in search of adventure. Refugees from a touring company of Gigi, they've gone looking for excitement and are about to find it. For when Harry and Lil step off their bus in the middle of nowhere, they find themselves center stage in a fantastic, spine-chilling drama.
Run for your life!
Mightier than King Kong, meaner than Godzilla, and more vicious than Skippy. It came from Widgie Malta.
I can't move another step, Lil. Let's take five.
Okay, Harry. Oh, look, there's a huge rock or something over there. Let's go and sit in its shade and have a jam session.
Good idea. I've always wanted to do a rock concert.
It's awfully big, isn't it? What do you suppose it is?
Oh, it's obviously some kind of sacred site, Lil.
Mm.
You can tell because it's got property of the CSIRO stenciled on it.
Yes.
That stands for the Cultural Symbols in Rock Organisation, a well-known protector of Aboriginal artefacts.
Oh, you're so well-read, Harold.
I do try, Lil.
Mm. Now then, what do we play, Pet? What about strutting with some barbecue?
I can dig it, Lil. A one, a two, a one.
Do you hear that, Harry?
Yes, Lil. Is it your spit valve again?
Oh, no, it's this box. It's cracking open.
Oh, my God, Lil. There's something inside
it. And it's giving out. Jumping jelly roll, Harold. Is this for real?
I don't know, Lil, but it's the last time I touch that thermos.
Oh, Pip, what'll we do?
I've got one suggestion.
What's that?
Run for it.
Two days later, and 500 kilometers west of Widgie Malta, the city of Perth is at play. It's a cloudless summer's day, and the beaches are crowded with sun worshippers who've thrown care and most of their clothing to the four winds. Among them is our hero, Jason Furbish, ace reporter for the Fresh Fish Daily, whom we find sharing a tube of zinc cream with his girlfriend, the lovely Vanessa Esser.
I love it when you do that.
What about this?
Oh, that too.
And how about this?
Oh, yes.
And this?
Well, I don't mind, but I think the duck gets a little upset.
A man, a woman, and a duck. Away from it all, among the sand dunes of some remote beach. And little knowing what's heading their way from Widgie Malta.
Darling.
Yes, darling.
Happy, darling.
Yes, darling.
You don't mind about the duck, then?
No, darling. I understand.
It's just that Rover means a lot to me. Well, see? He can tell when I'm talking about him, can't you, boy? Here, fetch. I've had him since he was a pup, you know. And I'd hate it if anything happened to him.
Of course, darling.
So, you don't mind having turkey this Christmas?
No, of course not, darling.
What's up, big fella? I think he's got wind of something. Fantastic sense of smell, ducks. What have you found, boy? Jumping catfish!
Jason!
It can't be!
It is! It's a giant! A sheep! A giant sheep! Run, Peter!
Within days, Perth is in the grip of a reign of terror. The mutant merino devours buildings, flattens suburbs, and dangerously soils footpaths. Nothing in the city is spared.
Well, it's a beautiful day here at the WACA ground as Dennis Lilly moves in to open the bowling for Western Australia. He's coming up from the river end and bowls the first delivery of the day to Jeffries, who comes forward driving. It's beautifully struck, high in the air, straight down the ground. It could even be six, although Ogden from long off's running around. He's coming around right underneath the ball now. It's going to be touch and go, whether it'll be six or out court. Ogden's underneath it. I think he's going to take it, but I think he's been trodden on by a giant sheep.
Oh, dear.
Geez, I'll be right for the trots not after this, won't I? Well, that's certainly one for the books. It's the first time in my memory that a 300-foot mutant has interrupted play in a shield match since, let me think, I think it was the killer cane toad at Brisbane in 1956.
That's right, Brian. It ate the entire Victorian side after they'd forced Queensland to follow on.
Anyway, Lily's back to his mark, and he continues as he comes up again and bowls to Jeff.
But what has spawned this monster? Across town, our hero, Jason Furbish, and his girlfriend, the lovely Vanessa Esser, seek the answer from the one man who might know. Vanessa's father, the eminent scientist and keen golfer, Professor Esser.
So my ball goes straight down the fairway and lands about 2 feet from the green. Meanwhile, Adolf has landed in the bunker. Ho, ho, I say, trapped in a bunker again, Adolf?
Of course he wasn't amused. He never is.
But what about the sheep, Professor?
What sheep? There were no sheep. This was an exclusive club.
No, the giant sheep terrorizing Perth, Papa. Where has it come from?
Yes. Well, if I don't miss my guess, this monster is the result of a diabolical experiment gone wrong. I warned them against it, but they refused to listen to me, and now the whole country must suffer the consequences.
What experiment, Papa?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
But you must tell us, Professor.
For 30 years now, the CSIRO has been engaged on a project at Vigimulta that is so vile, so evil, it borders on witchcraft.
You don't mean...
Yes! They're looking for a way to turn wool into polyester.
Gasp!
So that's where it came from. The CSIRO has been trying to pull the wool over our eyes all these years. What does the future hold for Australia now? A call goes out to the State Emergency Services.
State Emergency Services here. No crisis too big or small. It's Terry speaking. Yep. Oh, yeah. Right. Just hang on a tick. Hey, Ralph, can we do a rust job on a large merino? It's got into a spot of bother on the Fremantle Expressway. It's eating it.
A local model of one of those Japanese jobs.
No, local. Sounds like an 83 merino with twin overhead mandibles. He wants it done right away.
Oh, no, not a chance. You know what it's like this time of year. We're up to our ears in the fruit flies and we haven't even looked at the starlings yet. Tell them to call back after Christmas, will you?
Yeah, you're sorry, mate, but we're flat out with rampaging livestock at the moment and the giant sheep is just out of the question. We could give you a nice discount on a cyclone, but...
As darkness descends on the besieged city, one light burns fearlessly through the encroaching gloom. It's the office of our hero, Jason Furbish, ace reporter for the Fresh Fish Daily, who's working round the clock to keep his loyal readers informed about the city's devastation and the latest bingo results. For once, his editor is impressed.
That's a good story, Furbish. I particularly like the way you tie in the giant sheep with the America's Cup, the search for a cure for cancer, Prince William and the Senegalese ice hockey team. Yeah, that's real crass.
Don't you mean class, Chief?
I know what I said. But there's one thing you left out. The monster doesn't have a name.
I didn't know it had one.
It doesn't, Furbish. We give it one.
Why?
Because all monsters have got names. King Kong, Godzilla, Jaws, Malcolm, all the big ones. It's what gives them that aura of fear. That's what's helped us sell newspapers.
You're right, Chief. We need a name that will strike terror in the heart of every Australian. A name that will evoke images of chaos and destruction. A name that will ring with infamy throughout the ages yet to come.
That's it, Furbish, that's it!
A name like... Jeffrey.
Now, there's a name to frighten little children with. But will the giant sheep take to it? Or would it prefer something less macho, like Dolores? While we ponder, the mutant merino proves unstoppable as it devours and tramples its way through the jewel of the West. A decision must now be made whether or not to call in the military. A decision that can only be taken at the very highest level.
Prime Minister's residence, Mellors speaking.
No, I'm afraid he's out at the moment. Well, he's awarding trophies at the under-18 Trans-Pacific Inter-Rabbi Limpid Wrestling Championships, and then he's got the Middle East conflict to resolve, so he won't be back before lunch. A giant sheep, eh? Yes, that is a problem. Look, don't you worry, sir. I'll see that something is done. Good day. Bloody hell, I have to do everything around here. How does he go?
G'day, General. The Prime Minister here. Look, Perth's having a bit of trouble with the giant sheep at the moment, so take a few of your boys around there and put the wind up it, will you? Good on you.
At the word from their Commander-in-Chief, Australia's military might swings into action, but Geoffrey the giant sheep proves too great a foe, even for them. Defence correspondent for I'm Witless News, Prakash Berkowitz, takes up the story.
Well, the battle is really hotting up here in Perth as this marauding merino inflicts heavy losses on the military by eating them. So far, conventional weapons have proved useless against this ravaging ruminant, and the military is facing certain defeat unless they can come up with something quite extraordinary. Yes, I think this might be it. Some new troops are arriving, and yes, it's the secret weapon we've been waiting for. The Army's crack 111th Formation Dance Battalion, 600 perfectly synchronized, high-kicking men in uniform, perhaps better known as the Jockettes.
Bread! Attention! Bread! Wait for it! Bread! Shake it! All about!
This is an amazing sight. Row upon row of khaki-clad chorus lines advancing with immaculate precision on the mutton monster. And the creature's backing off. Yes, it's definitely retreating. If there's one thing your megalithic merino can't take, it's the taste of patent leather in the kneecap. This is a truly remarkable victory. As the leviathan lamb becomes just a woolly speck on the horizon, these plucky boys in battle dress are forming the traditional conga line of victory and snaking their way through the streets of Perth, led as always by their colourful commanding officer, Brigadier Peter Rutt.
Is this the last tango for Geoffrey, or has he just decided to sit this one out? As Perth rebuilds, the rest of Australia is not slow to learn of this ovine threat. Within days, the news even reaches the country's biggest media organization, the Australian Broadcasting Collective, which immediately springs into action with a demarcation dispute.
Hands up, all those in favour of the news department covering this giant sheep business, all right? Hands up. Okay, all those in favour of the rural department?
Yep.
It's a tie. Well, Mr. Chairman, you've got the casting vote. Who gets the job, the news department or the rural department?
Well, frankly, Miss Pat, I really don't know. I mean, I can see the merit in both arguments, because on the one hand, news has little enough to do as it is. But on the other, rural's been very depressed ever since we put Neil all in, out, to stud. But on the other hand, a case could even be made out for the sporting department, now that the Sheffield Shield has been cancelled and Norman Mayhem's back on his medication.
Meanwhile, the news also reaches the offices of a fabulously successful yet perennially youthful Australian film producer.
Anything of interest on the telex this morning, Adams?
Just the usual, sir. Another begging letter from Kirk. Marlon says he'll do the Bjelke Petersen story for nothing as long as he can play Flo. And a giant sheep has eaten your Perth home.
A sheep, Adams?
A giant sheep, sir.
Has eaten my...
Your Perth home, yes, sir.
Golly.
If it's any consolation, sir, it's also eaten Alan Bonds.
A sheep? A giant sheep? That's it, Adams.
Yes, sir.
Get me my riders.
At once, sir. Okay, on your feet now, you lot. Come on, the young master wants to see you now. Hurry up there. Come on, get a move. Hurry up. Quiet down.
Listen, you lot. We're on to the chance of a lifetime. A giant sheep is on the loose in Australia, and I want a film made about it. A film with spectacle. A film with romance. A film with thrills. And above all, lots and lots of horses. Now, how about it? Come on, think, think.
Yeah, I've got it, sir. What about the sheep that ate Melbourne?
No, not dramatic enough. What about the sheep that ate the Melbourne Cup?
Or even better, the sheep that won the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's it. And we'll call it Barlap.
Well, is this the start of a new career for Jeffrey? From monster to movie star? And what will his next role be? The big sheep? As an anxious Australia apprehensively waits, our hero, Jason Furbish, devises a plan for finding the monster, which he explains to his girlfriend, the lovely Vanessa Esser.
It'll never work.
Of course it will. Rover is highly trained in the art of tracking, and with his keen sense of smell, he'll be able to find the beast in no time.
But he's a dog.
He's a bit sensitive about that.
You mean he thinks he's a dog?
Well, not exactly. He was raised by wolves.
Jason, this is not going to work.
Of course it is. All Rover needs is something to give him the scent, and he can track it for days. So if you'll just hand me that lamb chop, we can get started. See? I wave it under his nostrils like this, and...
You know, it's not too late to cancel the Christmas turkey.
Vanessa!
Finally, by using an old woolen bedspread, Rover the duck soon has the merino's scent and tracks it halfway across the continent to Australia's red center. Not far behind him, Jason, Vanessa, and her father, the eminent scientist and keen golfer, Professor Esser, follow in a helicopter.
So anyway, I'm standing around by the ninth hole waiting to tee off when Adolf finally emerges from the rough. He's fuming like a madman and says he's lost one of his balls. Ho, ho, Adolf, I say, so the old song is right. And that was when he shot me.
Look, Jason, there's Rover up ahead. But I still don't see any sign of the sheep.
Wait, what's that on the other side of Ayers Rock? Take us around, Professor. Yes, that's Jeffrey, all right. What's that he's doing? No. No, it can't be.
It is. He's eating Ayers Rock.
It's eaten Ayers Rock?
Yes, Chief.
All of it?
I'm afraid so, Chief.
You mean Ayers Rock just gone?
Not quite.
What do you mean, not quite?
It's left behind a pile of what you might call Ayers Pebbles.
Australia is surely facing its darkest hour, with Perth half demolished, a giant sheep on the loose, and now Ayers Rock reduced to a pile of manure. What could possibly be worse?
Giant blowflies!
You'd better believe it. Unless Jeffrey is sure, and very soon he'll come down with blowfly-strike.
And you know what that means? His radioactive dag will transform the merest housefly into a monster. A blow is so big it will blot out the sun.
But how do you crutch a 50-story sheep, Papa?
Well, first of all, Liebchen, 150 commandos disguised as members of the Wool Marketing Board chased Jeffrey into Lake Burley Griffin, which has been specially trained for the purpose. There, a hand-picked team of kamikaze bureaucrats ties him down with red tape while a shear and a combine harvester is lowered by helicopter onto the immobilized merino and catches him. Finally, the lake is pumped full of sheep dip and Jeffrey is released.
But are you sure it will work?
It's foolproof. Nothing can possibly go wrong.
Professor, the shearers are on strike.
Why, lieber Gott, what's wrong?
They don't like the harvester.
But why?
It's 30 feet across.
So?
So, that makes it a wide comb.
So, who can shear Jeffrey now? Is Australia doomed to a daggy end? The mighty merino's personal hygiene is so poor that grown men pull their own heads off, rather than stand downwind of him. It's even feared that unless Geoffrey is soon shorn, a case of blowfly strike could result in the biggest blowies the world has ever seen. And if there are giant blowflies, can giant spiders be far behind? Meanwhile, the marauding monster continues his relentless rampage across the continent.
This is Prakash Brokovitz with an I'm Witless Up to the Minute Scoop exclusive newsbreak. There were wild scenes at the Adelaide Arts Festival today when Geoffrey the Giant Sheep stormed the closing ceremony and ate half the performers. Those devoured included five mimes, two unproduced playwrights, 18 minor English novelists, the entire Latvian Theatre of the Invisible, two feminist cat jugglers, and the Cambridge Footlights Review. Authorities later named the sheep most original act of the festival.
As Geoffrey continues along his destructive path, the calls to stop him get louder. However, one group stands apart. In a yurt, on the fringes of a remote rainforest, the radical environmental group Friends of the Sheep meet to discuss ways of protecting the monster.
I say we ought to blockade all government instrumentalities until such time as the government sees fit to stop harassing poor Geoffrey and allows him to enjoy all his rights and privileges as a giant sheep.
Thank you, Sister Raylene. Yes, good idea. Any other suggestions? Brother Kevin?
I think we ought to take our clothes off and form a chain of love around Parliament House so that by engaging in various forms of fornication...
Thank you, Kevin. Anyone else? I think Rainbow was next.
What? I reckon Geoffrey is really important. I mean, as sheep go, he's really the greatest, literally, and should be protected and stuff.
I think we've already established that, Rainbow. The point before the meeting now is what we should do about it.
What if we formed a pyramid of love outside Parliament House by taking all our clothes off and lying on top...
I don't think some of you fully appreciate what we're trying to do here. Not only is Geoffrey the most endangered species in the world, but he's the last of the giant marsupials.
But he's not a marsupial. He's a sheep.
Well, of course he's not a marsupial per se. What I'm saying is he's symbolic. Symbolic of the marsupials. And has the right to demand protection under the UN Charter pertaining to useless native fauna.
We could form a sort of Ferris wheel of love outside...
Shut up, Kevin! Look, it's simple. We make Geoffrey an honorary marsupial, and that way the government has to act under its obligations to the UN. So all those in favour of Geoffrey becoming a marsupial, raise your hands.
Yeah.
All those against...
Hold everything! Geoffrey's just drunk the Franklin River!
Drunk with power. But has Geoffrey bitten off more than he can chew? His reign of terror continues unabated. And soon the monster is at the gates of Sydney. The scene is awesome.
This is Prakash Berkovitz in the I'm Witless Live Eye in the Sky, and it looks like the battle for Sydney is over before it began. The scene below me now is just incredible. I've never seen Geoffrey like this before. He's systematically turning over every bus and knocking over every building in Sydney. It's almost as if he's looking for something. Now wait! He seems to have spotted something. Yes, it's two small figures and he's chasing after them. He's chasing them onto the Sydney Harbour Bridge. What an amazing sight. The giant sheep is perched on top of the Sydney Harbour Bridge. RAAF jet fighters are swarming around him like flies. And the two people he was chasing have stopped in the middle of it all. And yes, they seem to be unpacking something. It looks like musical instruments. They must be out of their minds.
Put that thermos away and hand me my trombone. Here's your sax.
Oh, thank you. Now, what makes you think this will work, Lil?
Call it a hunch, Harold. But I think this sheep will respond to music. Why else would it be followed us all over Australia? Remember the Perth and Ayers rock gigs?
Yes, yes. No sooner had we started playing than Geoffrey shows up.
And eats our audience. Then he walks in on our performance at the Adelaide Festival. It's obvious, Harry. Guns and planes will never shift him, but music will. So let's give him a performance he'll never forget. Let's really blow him away. A one, a two, a one.
Thank you.
you were right, Lil. You've saved the bridge. You've saved Sydney. You've saved Australia.
Ah, it was nothing, Pip. Pass me the thermos.
Pass me the turkey, please, Vanessa. Ha! This is the best Christmas dinner you've ever cooked, Liebchen.
Thank you, Papa.
So all the time, Jeffrey was simply looking for those two musicians. He wasn't trying to destroy Australia at all. Well, it's certainly an amazing story. I can hardly believe it myself. How about you, Rover? Rover?
Some more turkey, Jason.
The story of the giant sheep called Jeffrey has already passed into legend. Some say the monster was a strange being from another planet. Some say it came from a dimension beyond time and space. Still others say it's the product of a deranged imagination. Only a few know the truth. It came from Widgie-Multa. Telling the awesome story were Lance Curtis as Harry Davenport, State Emergency Terry, the Sergeant Major, and Mr. Adams. Drew Forsyth was Jason Furbish. The lovely Vanessa Esser and Raylene were played by the lovely Jane Harders. Keith Scott portrayed the Prime Minister, Mr. Squiggle, the newspaper editor, and lots of other people. Angela Webber appeared in her award-winning roles of Lillian Pascoe, Rainbow, and Miss Pat. Tony Baldwin was Professor Esser, Prakash Berkovitz, and Jeffrey the Giant Sheep. Narrator, Adam Bowen. We apologize to David Morrow and Ron Davies for spoiling their cricket match. It Came from Widgie-Multa was written by David Witt. The pages were edited behind locked doors by Julianne Ford and Kevin Daly, and microfilmed by Linda Hughes. Stealthy sound effects by John Farkas, alias Rover the Duck. Technical production on Microdot by Warwick Maver. Produced in the utmost secrecy by Bob Cubbage, Kevin Daly and Tony Baldwin for ABC Radio Comedy. It came from Widgie-Multa.